When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to Trust the Trail. We are your outdoor guides, Ariane Petrucci
and Scott Jantz.
This is episode 77. Should a backpacker take a wilderness first aid class?
Absolutely. We are now on Patreon.com. If you would like to support Trust the Trail podcast, please check out Patreon.com/Trust the Trail. We would love for you to be part of our outdoor backpacking community. Plus, you can receive our podcasts early before it hits the world. Another way to support us is by listening to Trust the Trail on the Radio Public app for both iOS and Android. So download it today and listen to Trust the Trail podcast and add it to your favorite library.
On this episode, we ask a question: should a backpacker take a wilderness first aid class, and why? Through our own experiences and what we have seen on the trail, we share with you a perspective that may persuade you to consider it valuable enough, and why it just might change the way you hike.
Yeah, it changed the way we hike after we took it.
Absolutely
it did. So I ran across an interesting survey, and one of the reasons why we wanted to do this podcast is because lately we have seen all kinds of crazy on the trail, with people getting hurt, falling off cliffs while trying to take a selfie, and we thought that it was important to let's get some information out there on why this may or may not be a good idea to do. So,
and beneficial. I think there's so much benefit in it, and you know, we're going to be kind of indulging you through your stories and how that can impact you out in the wilderness, even a very local hike.
Oh, absolutely. Because usually the local stuff that goes wrong, right? So I ran into some stats, and I thought it was really interesting. This survey was done by a pretty big outdoor website. I'm going to post these links on the TrustTheTrailPodcast.com site under this podcast episode, and so you can look at that survey yourself. But I thought it was really interesting. The survey talked a lot about the about through hiking, long distance hiking, on the Pacific Crest Trail and the Appalachian Trail. But I think it really pertains on, you know, how important it is to be aware of injuries on the trail. So the survey took 34 out of 84 hikers that took the survey. 34 of them reported that they got off the trail on the Pacific Crest Trail early on because of injury. And I thought that was really super important. 40% of the hikers sustained some sort of injury in the course of their hike in the first quarter portion of the trail. And then I thought, wow, you know, that is a high number for, you know, your plan, you're planning your dream, you're getting out there, and because of an injury, you're off the trail. And that was on the Pacific Crest Trail. On the Appalachian Trail, the same survey talked about, about 100 hikers surveyed on the the survey. They reported injuries consistent with carrying a heavy pack, and these seem to be relatively common injuries on all the trails. Through there are a few studies to confirm this, and we're not even talking about the search and rescue and all the SAR stuff that people, and the county rescue that people have to go out on in national parks. Another 40% of the hikers sustained some sort of injury in the course of their through hike on the AT. So the numbers are almost consistent between both trails. And I thought that was fascinating, that 40% of everybody that goes out there gets off the trail because of some sort of injury.
Right, right. The stats were not specific as, you know, relatable to the specific types of injury. It didn't break it down into further detail. But injury is injury, and injury comes in all forms. The most commonalities in injury seen out on the trail are blisters. It's by far one of the most common factors for quickly
ruining your weekend.
ruining you know, your idea of this, I'm going to achieve this big fascinating dream of mine.
And I find that so crazy interesting, because with all the technology that comes with shoe manufacturers, you know, boots, running shoes, and they talk about, you know, this new brand of technology that's going to really make you go, the number one injury that takes people off the trail, according to this survey and according to the National Park stats on search and rescue, are blisters.
I mean, you're putting so much wear and tear on a daily basis, especially, you know, if you're doing a through hike. It's this constant, repetitive wear and tear that you're putting on your body in a way in which you're not accustomed to. So it does make sense. Plus, I mean, let's face it, your feet are everything out there. If you're, I mean, you could crawl the trail. I don't think you're going to get very far.
You have blisters on your hands.
But, you know, blisters are by far the most common, in addition to sprains, strains, cuts, burns, possible shin splints. Dehydration is a big one. And of course, allergies, so like allergic reactions, yep, to situations. All things that are found easily, but all these things should be equipped in your first aid kit to be able to handle these situations, at least in the interim of getting, you know,
that's right,
more help.
That's right. Right. Yeah. And it's amazing to me on the blister part, that tells me that so many hikers and backpackers underestimate just how hard that trail is going to be on your feet, whether it's you're going up and down terrain on the AT, or whether you're walking a flat surface and doing, you know, 18, 20 miles a day on the Pacific Crest Trail, because the PCT is really flat in the beginning. And so it just goes to show you that, you know, all the shoe technology in the world doesn't prevent you from getting blisters if your feet are unprepared for your journey, which tells me that practice, get out there and really toughen up those feet if you're going to go on a long distance
this
hike.
This episode is brought to you by
right absolutely.
No, but I mean, the reality is there's so much truth in it, and the majority of injuries that you do either come across or, you know, endure yourself are very simple, basic injuries. And this idea of having the knowledge behind you for, you know, becoming wilderness first aid, like, aware, is it takes that treatment of these minor things that really are so minor in themselves if they were to occur at home, but because they're happening further away from assistance and you have to, you know, push through an injury until you can get that assistance, the idea of having the knowledge of how to better equip yourself until you can get that further assistance, that is so key in it making or breaking you getting off the trail altogether.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, you never think it's going to happen to you.
Never.
You think,
oh,
like,
I'm
it
so
happens
well
to everybody else. And I think that's one of the selling points that we're going to talk about later in taking the class, is because you will find out it's not about you. You're not taking the class for you. You're taking the class to be aware of what situation you may encounter on the trail and how to and what to do about it. So here's a perfect example. Ariane, who is a avid outdoors person, and she knows what she's doing. I trust her immensely with anything as far as the outdoors, but we had a bad hiking weekend.
I would say I personally
quite a few years ago. We've talked about this before in our podcast. If you've listened to some of the podcasts that we've done, yeah. Ariane just had a bad weekend. And I thought I was going to have to do a first aid assessment on her because, you know, she almost got hypothermia. She got stung by a couple bees, and you are allergic to bee stings.
Yeah.
You took Benadryl and then got kind of loopy. And in the process of crossing a river, she smacked her head on a gigantic tree, and she had a big welt on her head. And then, and this is all within 3 miles, folks. I mean, you know, this is we're hiking back to the car. And then she got sick. She physically got sick. And at one point in time, I'm like, oh, dear God, I'm going to have to lay her down and do a body assessment on her. I think she's going down. But in true Ariane spirit, by the time we got to her car, as her head is welted and, you know, she's loopy, she's like, oh, my God, that was so much fun. But when it happens to the best of us on the trail, because you don't know exactly what the elements are going to be or what happens. And so to be aware and to be knowledgeable is really the key to trusting the trail. The more you know and the more you can prepare for, the more you can trust that everything is going to end up being okay. And I know for us personally, when we took our first day class, it really did change the way we looked at things and the way we hiked.
Yeah, it did. And we're going to kind of go over, you know, some bullet points of the ways in which it really altered it for us. But it allows you to become more trusting of your situation. When you have knowledge of these things, it really does change the game in so many ways. You know, we had come across, we were doing a weekend hike with some friends of ours. And we were on a pretty populated portion of the AT. And we were going south, of course. Everybody else is going north. And we ran into a really large Georgia hiking group. There might have been 15 to 20 hikers within that group. And they were pretty spread out. So we kept passing them along the way. Well, one gentleman was hiking by himself. He was separated from the remainder of the group, and he was a little disoriented, and he just didn't look right. And so as we're passing him, he kind of was talking, and we identified through our knowledge that he got stung by several bees.
He ran into a yellow jacket nest.
And lo and behold, what he didn't know about himself and what we very quickly were able to assess is that he was going into an allergic reaction for being stung as much as he was. And we were immediately able to stop and treat him and help him and guide him through it. And he
didn't know whether he was allergic or not. So when we were assessing him, we were asking him all these questions. We're like, so do you have any allergies? I don't know. Are you allergic to bee stings? I don't know. Have you ever been stung by a bee before? I don't know. So we were asking him all these questions, and we're like, you know, like, are you out hiking today? You know, I mean, we wanted to get some sort of answer. He was a little loopy. I think he was scared a lot, too.
Well, it wasn't only that, but
he didn't have one bee sting. He had like five or six bee stings.
And so it was a pretty severe situation in which he had come with a group but then was alone. And again, it's very accidental. These things happen. They happen fast when they happen. And, you know, being able to not only assess yourself in that situation, but being able to help somebody else, and more often than not, it's not going to be somebody from your group. You're going to run into them. You're going to run across them. You know, perhaps it's going to happen to you. These are all things that you are unprepared for. You don't have the game plan to run into this gentleman who's been stung and is now going into some severe allergic reaction. And, you know, the timing of it was perfect for him. But we were able to treat him solely based off of, one, our knowledge, which is the forerunner for all of this. And number two, you know, just what was in our first aid before we could get him assistance. And one of the whole thing that stirred my desire to say, hey, maybe I should take a first aid class. Maybe I should become a little bit more knowledgeable. I come from a background. My mom was a nurse. I know a lot about, you know, first aid to dogs. I know a lot about basic first aid to human. I was on a day hike with one of my closest friends, and we were out with our two dogs, just a simple few hour hike, no big deal. We were day packs only, basic first aid kit, so on and so forth, just your typical day hike. We had stopped for lunch. She had a can of tuna in which she was holding her dog. Her dog saw something. Her dog was looped on leash around her wrist. The dog swung her wrist forward. Thus, she got a severely, severely deep gash on her palm of her hand. So much so that she ended up with 17 stitches in one area on her hand. Pretty significant cut. And we were in the middle of nowhere, you know? There was help to be had, but there was nobody around. And being able to figure out exactly what was going on, it was easy to treat it in the moment, but she started going into shock. And that's when I realized that I don't know as much as I need to know to deal with the situation. And in the end, I was immensely proud of myself for how I handled it, how I treated it, the steps I took, how calm I was. You know, I got approval from the doctor in the end when we finally made it into the ER. He was pretty impressed with how I had handled it, but it made me think, I really know nothing. I know the bare bones basic. And that really is what drove me to take it, is here I have a loved one, somebody that I care about, and I couldn't help her to the extent that I felt like I should have been able to. And it's situations, accidents like that, that really steer you into this realization that there is a purpose for first aid.
Well, absolutely. And those are the things that I know for me, really changed the way that I thought once I took the class. I took the class some time ago, and since then, I can't even tell you how many people, whether it's boot camp class, whether it's one of our trips, you know, when we talk about our Isle Royale trips quite a bit. You remember Brian spraining his ankle?
Yeah.
On a pretty big epic trip. And by the way, the nearest medical facility was
not so close.
6 hours away on a ferry boat, and the ferry boat was 2 days away. So, you know, what do you do? What do you do when you run across those things? And the benefit of taking a wilderness first aid class is the clarity on what to do, not being able to help, so to speak, but the clarity of what to do to assess what that person needs. And I really do think of wilderness first aid class is almost like paying it forward a little bit. You know, like you're more knowledgeable if you run into somebody else, and you're hoping that the person that runs into you has the same education you have.
Yeah.
Because it's a different game when it happens to you.
Oh, absolutely.
But really, we have found that we have been able to help so many people on the trail because of it. I think we've talked about this on our podcast before. One of the guys, he hadn't even put on his backpack yet.
It was a backpacking boot camp class.
He had, I don't know what he was thinking, but he had taken his little knife out, done something with it, put it in his pocket, but he inverted it. So the blade was pointing up in his pocket, forgot about it, and then put his hands in his pocket.
Yeah.
And he goes, he brought his hand up, and it was bleeding profusely at the tip of his finger.
It's not funny. What a way to start a boot camp class.
And I go, Jimmy, what did you do? And he goes, I stabbed myself in the finger. I go, that's not something here every day, you know. So
my first question, was this on purpose?
So, you know, I looked at it, you know, I knew what to do. We treated it, got some antiseptic on there, bandaged it really tight, and that was it. And I told him, I said, Jim, whatever you do, when we get to the river and camp, do not put your hand in the water. Do not put your hand in the water, because now it's an open wound, you know, and you just want to protect it. I go, do not put your hand in the water. So we get to camp. He's setting up. What's the first thing he does? He goes to the river and puts his hand in the water. I go, come here. Come here. So I had to clean it out all over again and, you know, bandage it, treat it. But that's the things that you can do for your fellow hiker and your fellow, you know, outdoors person that, you know, like, you know, 20 years ago when I first started backpacking, I wouldn't have known what to do. I would have said, oh, man, that sucks. You got a Band-Aid? You know, I wouldn't have known. You know, I wouldn't have known.
I'm glad that none of you have known the 20-year-old, 20-year-old ago, Scott.
But you know, you don't know. You know, you don't know what you don't know.
True.
And one of the things that, that really changed it for me was when I took my wilderness first aid class through National Outdoor Leadership School, NOLS. And the guy that taught the class was the guy that rappels from Black Hawk helicopters in the basket to come rescue you off of a cliff. He was kind of a badass, okay? And so he was telling us stories about him rappelling down, helping people. You know, we're like, dude, man, I mean, like, you, man, that's crazy. He goes, well, that's pretty extreme. He goes, that doesn't really happen a lot. He goes, I will tell you what happens a lot, though. We're like, ooh, what? You know, we're pretty excited. You know, like, what? What happens? He goes, Cub Scouts. We're like, Cub Scouts? He goes, yeah, I'm a Cub Scout leader. We're like, what? He goes, yeah, Cub Scouts. That's where all the injuries happen. And we're like, Cub Scouts? What happens in a Cub Scout camp, you know, that requires first aid? And he goes, yeah, the boys, they're too embarrassed to poop in the woods and go to the bathroom. And he goes, so 3 days after they haven't pooped, they have these bad stomach pains. And they all come to me, you know, because they know I'm the first aid guy. And they go, I'm having stomach problems. He goes, it takes me about 30 minutes to assess to understand that they haven't pooped in 3 days. He goes, yep, happens every year. All the time. He goes, now I just go right to the source. Have you pooped?
but that's what the knowledge does develop in you is I think the biggest thing is that when you are enlightened by, you know, having taken a class and really introduced to the realities of what happens and how your body reacts to these different scenarios, whether it's like severe trauma to just your basic injuries, you really start to develop this knowledge of knowing exactly what to ask. It's a critical thinking problem, and that's why I thrive and love, you know, the challenge out there. I don't want anybody to be placed at risk, but I enjoy the challenge because it's so critical thinking. It's a problem that you have to work through, and knowing what to look for, slowing your process down. Our natural reactions is to just jump in and help,
right?
It's what we want to do, and we just like want to hover over everybody and
but
figure
it's
out
to know how to help. That's the key.
That's the key, and that's where your knowledge base really comes in to be able to do a quote unquote what we're calling an assessment, which is what you learn through the program. But it's this critical thinking of stopping, slowing down, looking at your environment, looking at the impacts of what is surrounding you that could have caused the injury. And a lot of times, in your worst case scenarios, the one you run across, or perhaps whatever the case may be, they may not be fully aware to be able to communicate. Worst case scenario. And in those instances, it's really very interesting to be able to kind of backtrack from the problem to figure out what had happened.
Well,
I love that stuff.
Yeah, and so one of the big reasons why it changed my hike, and again, the first time I took this class was years ago, but one of the ways it changed my hike is, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and until, you know, you run into the search and rescue people that explain to you, well, this is what happens all the time. This is what we see all the time. This is what we have to deal with all the time. And then you think about it and you're like, I have seen that, or I have experienced that. And one of the cool things about the Wilderness First Aid class that I did not understand when I first took it was the class, the very first thing they teach you is you got to take care of yourself. If you're going to help somebody out, you got to make sure you're okay. So the very first thing that they tell you to put in your first aid kit is rubber gloves, you know, in case somebody, you know, does have a bad case of poison ivy or poison oak, or they are, you know, they've got a bad nosebleed, or, you know, whatever the situation is, you have to make sure that you are okay. And I thought that was really different. I mean, like, I was expecting them, no, you got to run in the scene and, but, you know, do this and do that and, you know.
You know, be badass from television.
You know, make a splint and be a MacGyver, cut down a tree, make a splint, you know. And, but it was, they really are adamant about that. They are very, very strict on the very first person you take care of before you even touch that patient. Is you got to make sure you're okay.
Well, also making sure that you're not putting yourself in an environment.
Harm's way.
Or exactly, harm's way of perhaps the quote-unquote patient or whatever the case may be, like your environment, protecting yourself, because you don't want two people now with an injury or two people unable to seek treatment.
That makes so much logical sense because, you know, when you see the big SAR guy that jumps out of the Black Hawk helicopters in the basket, when he tells you, hey, we don't want to rescue two of you, we just want to rescue the one. You're like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes so much sense, you know. And so,
I mean, you hear it when you fly, you know. You cannot, you know, put your own mask on before helping children. And you're
right.
Like, what?
Right, right.
And it doesn't make any sense.
And
it does
go against your nature. Yes. At first, it does go against your nature. And so that was a really good piece of value that I learned. And the other piece I think is the most important is the whole reason why the Wilderness First Aid class is really important is because the goal of that class isn't necessarily to fix it, it's to assess it
and making
and
sure
having you that education that you can you can take vitals. They teach you, you know, blood pressure, heartbeat. They teach you how to take vitals in the field, and you're passing that information on to the first responder. So when that first responder gets there, if it's a situation where the hiker cannot hike out, you are passing on, they teach you how to do it, how to take notes. Sometimes you're writing it on a person's arm or their jacket or whatever you can write it on. But when that first responder gets there, you have passed on those vitals. And that's hugely important if someone needs to be helicoptered out or, you know, whatever the case is. And I think that was the big value for me.
Is the reality check.
Is not only is a reality check, but just assessing that patient, saying, look, there's two things that are going to happen. Yep. Either we're both going to walk to the trailhead and get to your car, and it's 3-5 miles away, whatever, but we're going to go. We think you can make it, you think you can make it, and I think you can make it. Or sit tight, it's going to be a couple days until the first responders can climb up the 6,000-foot mountain to come and get you. And it's going to be a long time getting back to the car. So you're assessing that situation. And that's really what Wilderness First Aid class is really all about. It's cuts, scrapes, burns, allergies, the simple things that can take you off your hike, blisters. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than if you have a blister yourself and you're like, I got this, you know, I got this. You know, I know how to wrap this thing up. I know how to clean it out. I know what to do. And I have a better than average chance to finish my hike or to assess my own situation. If you're honest with yourself that, okay, I can keep going. I need to watch it, make sure it doesn't get infected, because you've learned that and I can go on. Or, yeah, you know what? I'm done. I got to make it back to the car, you know? And so that's a great thing about it, is that, you know, you've got that education under your belt that you can trust the trail even more. You know, I mean, I think it's a great freeing experience.
Absolutely. And it really has dramatically altered the way we pack our pack, and we are much lighter with our first aid kit. And perhaps that doesn't sound logical to several. You know, you're like, well, you know more, wouldn't you want to pack more? But in reality, you're packing less because you're not planning for, oh, I'm going to run into so-and-so with a broken arm, and I'm going to run into this person with this, or what if I do this? And it's all these what ifs again, which is how your pack gets heavier in the long run. And you're realistically, with the knowledge that you gain from taking a first aid class, you can really truly reduce your pack weight to a very logical amount of things that are needed in your first aid to be able to get you to the next step of help.
Yeah, the SAR guy, I mean, the big dude that rappels out of the Black Hawk helicopters, his first aid kit was so tiny. He goes, that's all I carry. And we're like, what?
And we, you know, it's funny because,
when I go backpacking, it's just a really small little bag. And I'm like, what?
Well, I took my wilderness first aid, you know, not through National Outdoor Leadership School, but through SOLO, which is Stone Hearth Open Learning Opportunities. And it's a
great organization.
Love them. And we spent a huge chunk of the end of the class going through everybody's first aid kits and, you know, chunking, just like literally getting rid of a ton of stuff. And all of a sudden it was like a small little wad that you had to carry. And they're like, this is all you need. Because not only are you using the resources of what you have with you, not packing extra to accommodate, but using with you, it blew my mind at, these are the people that are professional in teaching me what I need. And it really just opens up this mindset to, you really are only doing two things. You're either continuing on treating yourself with what you have, or you are getting assistance, and you're not going to be using your first aid kit if you are actually getting assistance from, you know, a higher capable resource, I would say. So it's pretty eye-opening and alarming.
Well, when we do boot camp, you know, we've seen first aid kits. It's almost like a suitcase. I mean, it's like, are you going to perform surgery out here? Yeah, like, what do you?
I hope not.
You know, I brought a scalpel just in case I need to. I mean, you know,
it really cuts down like the idea of what do you really need
to assess? What really happens out there. That's the thing.
That's true.
And then once you learn what really does happen on the trail as far as search and rescue, as far as injuries, then you think, well, okay, the majority of injuries are the cuts, scrapes, burns, allergies, you know, things like that, that are, when you look at that medication in your first aid kit, it's nothing. Then you put your rubber gloves in so I can assess somebody else. If you're assessing somebody else, I can guarantee you there's a high probability that they're going to need a first responder.
Yeah.
If they are laying on the ground and you are assessing an injury
that's bleeding out.
That's bleeding. Yeah, well, that is, well, a broken leg or a blown knee happens a lot. You know, if you are assessing that injury, odds are there's going to be nothing in your first aid kit that's going to help them other than ibuprofen or Tylenol or something to make them feel comfortable while first responders get there. And so that's, you know, that now becomes, you know, kind of like, okay, what do I need in my first aid kit? And Ariane and I will be the first ones to tell you, after everything we've seen on the trail, after all of our experiences, the best way to treat an injury is to prevent it. Mm-hmm. And so if you plan and prepare and you understand what could happen, what might happen, you want to plan and prepare, but you're not packing for the kitchen sink. Again, the survey says, I feel like, you know, the game show. The survey says top three reasons why people get off of the trail. It's because of injury. And so what causes injury? Blisters. Okay. Number
Preventable. In most cases.
In most cases. So how do you prevent blisters? Practice. Don't put shoes on and then go hike the trail a day after you've bought your new hiking shoes or your trail runners or your hiking boots. Practice with your socks. You know, practice before you go out on that weekend or that 3-day, 4-day, that multiple day or a through hike on the PCT or the AT. So give yourself a better than average chance not to get a blister. Practice. If Glide works, use Glide. If Vaseline works, that's great. If your brand of socks work, use your brand of socks. If you have to hike in tennis shoes and you don't get blisters on the trail with tennis shoes and everyone's telling you you need to buy a 300 pair of boots, then wear your tennis shoes. I mean, that the whole key is, you know, like, you know, you have to know who you are, and that we talk about that all the time. We've done several podcasts on how to prevent injury.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was just going to say, if I recall, episode 57 was May Your Gear Be With You. And it's about, you know, getting accustomed to your gear. But that goes with your shoes. It goes with everything. But also, you know, episode 23, getting personal with your first aid kit. We don't want to say reduce it to the point where you're not putting something that in there that is personal to you in regard to how your body reacts, how, you know, your necessity. I'm allergic to bee stings, you know, multiple bee stings. Yeah, I'm going to be putting a lot more in my first aid kit. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be heavier. But it's also my safety net.
Lightening the load, you know, look at your pack weight. You know, if your pack weight, you can be really fit. You can be really in shape. You may be a long distance runner. You maybe think, well, I haven't gotten blisters in years. I'm gonna go a month. I'm gonna go 30 days on the PCT or the AT. The fact of the matter is that once you start doing ups and downs, elevation gains and losses, putting all that weight on your hips going down a steep hill, all that weight on your knees, and you decided not to bring hiking poles, so the brunt of that weight and your knees are, you're taking those shocks. It's a different situation, and, you know, 1 minute and your pack is really heavy. So you packed way too heavy. So all of that strain, all of that nuances that you haven't experienced before, the next thing you know, a long distance runner who's fit, who believes that they, you know, can hit the terrain, they realize that, I'm in bad shape. And even the long distance record holders who have ran the Appalachian Trail, you know, one of the things that they had to deal with were blisters.
Episode 77, the blister episode.
Yeah, we should.
We could talk all day about it. But, you know, these are just anywhere from basic to more extreme injuries. And having your wilderness first aid education, or, you know, you can forget everything about your wilderness first aid class. Again, it's good for a small amount of time, and it's always good to continuously renew that and keep yourself up to date. But having this basic knowledge, it comes back to you in the moment. And it's so I personally feel like it changes the way you hike. It changes the way you trust the trail. It changes the way you trust in your abilities and your capabilities of coming across situations. It's highly, highly suggested.
It'll make
that
you,
it becomes
it will
part
make
of
you
who
a better
you are.
Backpacker.
Yeah.
I think it makes you a better a steward for your fellow backpacker and your fellow hiker. You know, the whole podcast is about trusting the trail, and you know, the more information you have about going out there and being and feeling confident about where you're going and your experiences, the more you can ultimately say, you know what, I got this. This is okay.
Well, it's funny because we just got a review on iTunes this week from somebody who we believe is part of our Trust the Trail podcast community. And it's about building confidence. And she talks about how the podcast has developed confidence in her hiking. And yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. Coast Guard Mom, thank you so much for the review.
Yeah, it was
it's
really
all
cool.
All about confidence.
It was all about confidence. And that's what really it's all about is, you know, being able to assess what the situation is. Is it bad? Is it okay? Can we get through it? You know, that's really, I think in the wilderness, they call it assessing the situation. In life, they just call it being more aware. And so, you know, the more you're aware of your surroundings in life, I think, the better, you have a better than average chance, you know. And we were kind of like, I think, you know, this week was, or last week was really crazy with just reading story after story about, you know, accidents that are happening on the trail now. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you're not self-aware, I guess if you're walking towards a cliff backwards trying to take a selfie, don't do that. We cannot assess that situation, you know. And so, you know, I think the more education you have, I think that in the end it just makes you a better backpacker, you know. And there's no more of a beautiful feeling than helping somebody that needs help on the trail.
Like, absolutely.
You know, our bee sting guy, you know, that happens. We see that a lot. That happens a lot. That's the worst thing we've seen on the trail for sure. But he was pretty scared. I mean, he had the look on his face like, you know, I think I just walked into a hornet's nest. And we're like, no, literally, you just walked into a hornet's nest, you know. And, you know, he didn't know. And so I think he was waiting for the worst, hoping for the best.
Yeah.
And so, and the thing is that this was a pretty large hiking group in northern Georgia. And when we asked the other 20 people, like, well, does anybody have their wilderness first aid? The leader of that hiking group said, no. What? What's that? You know? And so, you know, in our opinion, sometimes if you're going to lead groups of people, whether it's day hiking or your club, or, you know, whatever that is, maybe it's a good idea to take your wilderness first aid class.
I would say at the bare minimum, be aware of the realities of what can occur. And logically prepare yourself for, you know, the realities
the
of what
stuff.
The simple stuff, the realities of what do occur. They don't call it the wilderness, you know. It's not your everyday, you know, inside your house, going to work and back and forth. You're aka by defining wilderness, you're far more remote than you normally would be.
Yeah, and by the way,
it just makes it harder to get to assistance as quickly as you may need to.
Yeah, and by the way, yellow jackets, they will chase you down the trail.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
You should have seen me after we treated them. I was like, okay, where
we had to walk
is
through,
it again?
We had to walk by the same nest, by the way.
I was like, where am I going?
Yeah.
I, a funny story before we wrap this podcast up. It was in summer, fall, and I put on every possible layer that I had, including a rain jacket. I was sweltering, but I was hell-bent determined to not get stung. So, but anyway, thank you to our Patreon users, as Patreon subscribers. I'm very thrilled that you've become part of our community. Shirley Nutt, Jerry Bertelson, Rick Horneck, and Chuck Walsh. Always a huge thank you and appreciation to you guys for supporting the podcast in a monetary way. It allows us to be able to do more for you.
And Podcast 78 will be live on our Patreon page.
78 is going live for our Patreons. Absolutely. Very exciting.
Our podcasts are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, and now on the Radio Public app, both for iOS and Android. Remember, you can support Trust the Trail on Patreon, patreon.com/trusttheTrail, and where we'll be going live next Tuesday. Wow, that's crazy. These weeks are flying by, by the way. Flying by. Really appreciate it. Thank you for the beautiful comment on iTunes. If you enjoy this podcast, please go to iTunes, give it a review. It really helps get our podcast out and spread the word. We really appreciate all of you guys, and we will see you next week. And remember,
trust
the trail. Bye, you guys.
Bye.